Hello and welcome to a new series of lessons we're starting today in the book of 2 Peter. Peter said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I think we don't want to fall, so we need to find out what these things are. First, though, let's understand that these are Peter's final words. Everything is coming to an end for him as far as this world is concerned. He's going to start a brand new beginning. But he's been he traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he had his ups and downs during that period of time. And then after the resurrection, we find that he set off. They're not kicking those Romans out right now, and I'm not going to get one of those thrones. Forget it. He said, I'm going fishing. And he took all the disciples with him. And yet we do read that Peter, even though Peter denied him like that, we read that Jesus stood on the shore. He stood there all night. There's nothing we can do to stop Jesus from loving us. Well, in the morning, finally, Peter comes ashore, and, you know, you remember that when he realized it was the Lord, he jumped right in the water and headed for shore. That's what I like about Peter. Remember when Peter and John were rushing to the tomb? John outran him, but he had stooped in, not Peter. Peter ran right on in there. Remember when they had the big storm on the boat and Jesus came walking on the water, and well, the rest of the disciples, they're going to stay in that safety of that boat, but it was Peter that said, can you bid me walk on the water? I would rather be out there with Jesus in the safety of this boat with him. That's the kind of person Peter was, and Jesus knew that. And so we say, you know, God is the God of the second chance. I think he's second and third and fourth. He's given Peter another opportunity. And he said in John 21, you love me more than these? He said, yeah, I do. Then he said, get on with the program that I brought you into this world for. And Peter did. Well, now he's writing one of two books that Peter got to write in the New Testament. And he's at the end of it all. These are his final words. And we read in chapter 1 and verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Well, what are these things that Peter was talking about? In verse 3, he said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So he says, it's all things are coming because God has given them to us. Let's not get any glory in our self-ability. Then he said in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word knowledge, keep it in mind. He said here in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Verse 10, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. And then verse 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So, let's see if we can figure out what these things are. First verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, he said he was a servant. Second, he said he was an apostle. That's interesting. And we can't all be apostles. There was only 12 of them. But he put servant first. We can all be a servant. And this word servant means bond slave. And in those days, slaves had some rights. But if you were a bond slave, you were a bond slave by choice. And your master could do whatever he wanted to do with you. And Peter's saying, that's me. By choice, I am going to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He can do whatever he wants to do with me. Now he writes to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. That's very interesting. In Ephesians 1, Paul said to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. When he wrote to the Colossians, he said to the saints and faithful brethren. Now that word and is used to connect two identical words to indicate different qualities. We talk about black and white. What are we talking about here? We're talking about two different qualities of color. They're both color, but and says it's used to connect two identical words to indicate different qualities. Well, when it comes to who Peter is writing to, he is writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And so it would seem that the faithful brethren and those that have obtained like precious faith with those that Peter was talking about here are the remnant. God has always had a remnant. Now, we've seen before, and I'll not read through this whole list again, but you can check it out here. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, I call it when God sums it out, S-O-M-E-S. Some did this, some did that, some did the other thing. You get the list there. But only one was a vessel to honor. The rest didn't make it. 11 out of 12 didn't make it. But God has always had a remnant. And those vessels to honor is like in the little picture at the top of it there where you see the little guy in red going against the current. The rest are going downhill. Well, if you're going to be part of the remnant today, you just rest assured you're going to go against the current. But there was a remnant. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You remember Jude had the same problem. He said, no, I have to write to you and tell you to contend for the faith because this common, this defiled, unholy plan of salvation has come in and we need to defend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But God, whether we're in the book of Jude, whether we're in the book of Galatians, whether you go back to Isaiah or back to Noah, how many people got on the boat there? A very small remnant, only 8. And then Isaiah said, if it were not for a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and we would have been as Gomorrah. Then we see the birth of Christ. Who knew what was going on? Of course, Joseph did, and his mother, and a couple of shepherds. They knew what was going on. The rest of the people, they didn't have a clue what was going on. We go to the temple when Jesus was presented in the temple. Who knew what was happening? Of all the people in the temple, only 2 people knew what was going on. Very small remnant. And then of all the millions of people in Israel, God's people at that time, who knew what was going on there? God had 12 disciples that he sent out to change the world. And during the 3.5 years, one of them was a hypocrite. And so then we have Paul the Apostle, and we have a very small remnant. Well, he says in verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. Am I going to just, okay, I get this note that says I should have grace and desire and the ability to do God's will, and I should have peace. All of a sudden, I'm going to get a warm and fuzzy feeling, and I'm going to have these things? No, it is a byproduct of the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so when we read about the knowledge of God in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. In verse 3, he said, according to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And then we read in verse number 5, and beside all this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. And then he went on to say, to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and brotherly kindness, and also to add charity. Add to your faith, he said, these things. And then verse number 8, we read, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said in chapter 2 and verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than that with them than the beginning. Then in chapter 3 and verse number 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. Why? Go back to verse number 2 in 2 Peter 1. Because it is through these things that it's a byproduct. If we have this knowledge, we're going to have the grace and we're going to have the peace. And so he said, add to your faith. Add to your faith. How's your adding coming along these days? It says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. He's given unto us all things. And so we should not get excited about, I preached this message and poor people got saved. Let's not focus on ourselves. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now he says he has called us to glory and to virtue. Let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he is called. Remember, he's writing to the remnant here. He's writing to those who want to do right. He's saying, make sure you abide to the same calling. I don't know. I think I could write a book. I think I could write an encyclopedia on the people I've seen since I got saved when I was 12 years old till today who don't abide anymore. They just gone in the way of materialistic world. Galatians 1 and 6, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. In Ephesians 4, 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That word vocation has been translated calling 10 times. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you. And then we read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, he certainly was part of that remnant, but he said, no, I got to be careful. He said, I keep my body in subjection, lest I should be a castaway. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Keep your focus on that calling. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Then in verse 3, it says he has called us to glory and to virtue. Now that's interesting. It says in 1 Peter 1 and 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our glory here, if we will let the Lord control our lives, if we would be bond slaves, if we would determine to let him control everything, what's the byproduct? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Virtue also has to do with praising the Lord. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so he says, it's been given us. Once again, we have nothing to brag about. The songwriter has said, not have I gotten but what I received. Grace has bestowed it, since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. And so he said, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. He said, add to your faith. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Faith has to do with our salvation. Virtue has to do with standards. Knowledge has to do with studying. Temperance has to do with self-control. Patience has to do with suffering. Godliness has to do with our sanctification. Brotherly kindness has to do with service. And love has to do with sacrifice. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. We're going to look at these things in detail in an upcoming broadcast. We're glad you could be with us today. Be sure and be with us for the next program.